today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When you start looking around at your little kingdom, is not this my beautiful house which I have made? Is not this my beautiful job that I've created? Am not I an amazing person? By the way, King's talking to himself. Proud people tend to do that. You know, you walk by a mirror and they stop on you. You're looking good. They start talking to themselves in the mirror, you know, they're kind of just flipped out. It's insanity.
You've heard the saying that pride comes before the fall. And to some degree, you've probably seen this play out in real life. Today on Revival Radio, Pastor John shares that this is exactly what happened with King Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him a chance to change his ways, but the king wouldn't give God credit. You'll learn that elevating yourself above God and taking credit for the things that he does will only lead to your downfall. And then, when you're humbled, you'll be able to see things more clearly. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Daniel chapter 4 as he continues his message, The Sin God Will Not Tolerate.
I want you to know if right now, if everything's going smooth for you, everything's going good for you right now, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That's a quote from the Bible, by the way. If you think, man, I don't really need to pray right now too much because things are really going good. Why should I spend time in prayer? You know, I can kind of slack off. I don't need to go to church, man. You know, nobody's dying. I got a job. I'm making money. Everything's great. I'm not in pain. You know, why pray? It's a shame that prayer is only used in time of crisis. And I believe that many times we have crisis because we know, God knows that that's what drives us to his throne of grace. So whenever things are going good, get on your knees and say, Lord, keep me humble. Keep me dependent. Keep me focused on you. When you get a raise, get on your knees and say, thank you, Lord. Help me to not get my eyes off you. Help me to stay dependent upon you. When you get a promotion, say, Lord, keep me humble. Keep me dependent. Keep me relying upon you. I believe every Christian should have a passionate prayer that goes their whole Christian life through of, Lord, keep me humble. Do what you need to do to keep me dependent and relying upon you. Don't ever begin to think that you have your act together. So he was in a dangerous situation, and he said he saw this dream. But God comes to us in our pride, and he will humble us. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. All of his wealth, all of his palace, all of his power, all of his position, all of his pleasure couldn't bring satisfaction to his troubled heart. What a picture that is of the unbeliever. You can have everything the world provides, but you can't sleep at night. You're troubled upon your bed. Therefore, verse 6, made I a decree to bring all of the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. And verse 7, it came to pass that in those days he calls the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make it known unto me the interpretation thereof. When I read that, I think, what else is new? These guys never seem to be able to have the ability to read the dreams or understand the dreams. Back in chapter 2, verse 7, they boasted when the king had his first dream, tell us your dream. Remember the king said, I had a dream, but I forgot it. I want you to tell me the dream and what it means. They said, tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means. Okay, I'm telling you the dream. Let's have the meaning. And we find out that they were unable to do that. They're a bunch of charlatans. The world cannot provide what we need. But at last, Daniel came in before me. Now, I don't know why he didn't call Daniel from the beginning, unless he was suspect that Daniel would actually be able to interpret it, and he didn't want to hear from the God of heaven. I don't know. But you'd think from experience, he would have just forgotten the other guys. They'd be long gone, and he would call Daniel in. So Daniel came before me, verse 8, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. This is his pagan view of all the different gods. And before me, and I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubles thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. So Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to tell you my dream, and then I want you to tell me what it means. I saw, verse 10, and behold, a tree. First, whether it was a statue, chapter 2, and now Nebuchadnezzar himself is going to be this tree. In the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into the heavens, and the sight thereof to the ends of all the earth. And the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof was much. And it was meat or food for all, and the beasts of the fields had shadow under it. And the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the heights thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Now, in verse 13, this watcher, or also called a holy one, is none other than an angel. The Bible has so many stories that involve angelic beings. What is an angel? It's a spirit being made by God. And in the beginning, they were all made to serve God. Satan was an angel, and he rebelled against God and fell and took other angels with him, and they became demons. But this is a holy angel or a good angel. I believe there are angels in the church here with us tonight. I believe angels follow you when you drive home in your car. And the way some of you drive, he has to get a legion of angels around you. They're out in the parking lot around your car, right? I go, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. There have been so many times in my life I've sensed angels keeping at bay automobile accidents on the freeway, just angels watching over us. I believe in angels, and I believe that they are servants of God sent forth to take care of us, his people. And so this Holy One comes from heaven, and he cried aloud and said, verse 14, hew down or cut down the tree. Interesting. Big, beautiful tree and beautiful branches and fruit, and the animals and the birds all get the benefit and the shade from it. This angel says, cut down this tree. And he says in verse 15, nevertheless, leave the stump of the root in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass, and in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his. Now, I want to point out a little interesting thing that you may miss, is that in verse 15 and before, the image there is of a tree. It's cut down and there's a stump, and then he uses a personal pronoun to describe it in verse 15. So the angel is actually kind of disclosing the meaning of the dream as he makes this statement that it's actually a representative of a man, and in this case, King Nebuchadnezzar. So it says, let his portion be with a beast in the grass and of the earth. Let his, verse 16, heart be changed. He needed a change of heart. God looks at the heart, and God wants to change the heart. Let it be changed from a man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Now, when the Bible uses the term heart, it's used in different ways, but primarily it signifies the whole inner person. It's not talking, in most cases, about the actual organ. It's talking about the inner person, which involves the mind and the emotion and the will. The real person, the real who you are, is the heart. And that's what God wants to change and transform, and that's what God is dealing with. So let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him. And the seven times there speak of 7 years, if you want to make a note over that. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent. And here's the reason for the dream. that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over the basis of men. So in verse 17, you're given the reason for the dream. And we're still just getting the actual dream as Nebuchadnezzar recounted it. This dream, verse 18, I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 18, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. So again, he recognized that these magicians and wise men and soothsayers are incompetent and able to reinterpret this dream, but you are able, and still in this pagan concept, because the spirit of the gods is in thee. Now in verse 19, I want you to note this. This is the third section. We have here Daniel's reaction. Daniel's reaction to the dream. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. And his thoughts troubled him, and the king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream of the interpretation thereof trouble you. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate you, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. What does that mean? He means your enemies are going to like this, king. This is not good for you. This is good for the people who hate you. In other words, king, bad news. But I want you to notice how this knowledge that Daniel possessed gripped his heart with fear. And he was struck kind of silent for a whole hour, kind of just as the awesomeness. And, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan, but he had been kind to Daniel. He had exalted Daniel. And it could be that there was a little emotion involved for Daniel to realize this king that had taken care of me, he's going to be judged by God. How would you like to have a dream of God showing you that someone you knew maybe was, you were a benefactor of them or you were a blesser of them, and you had to tell them or deliver to them a somber truth that God's going to judge you. God's going to chasten you. So sometimes knowing brings a fear. And he was shaking for a minute maybe. He was just thinking, wow, what am I going to do? Let me give you another example. Turn to chapter 10, verses 1 to 3 of another example of what I'm speaking of. It says in chapter 10, verse 1, in the year that Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. So again, God revealed the future. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. So God gave to Daniel all this understanding. And then notice verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. So he said, for 3 weeks, it just really gripped me and shook me up. And then he says in verse 3, he says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, for 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Knowledge brings responsibility. Knowledge, a lot of times, brings a great sobriety to realize that we in America have turned away from God, and we can expect, if we continue in our sinful ways, the judgment of God upon us as a nation. It brings us, like Daniel, that place of awe. So Daniel was silent for this entire period. Now, Daniel, as he heard this dream, was gripped because of this knowledge. Then verse 20 down to verse 26, we have here Daniel's revelation. So Daniel begins to explain the dream. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven and the sight thereof unto the earth, whose leaves were fair, the fruit thereof was much, and it was meat or food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king. In other words, you are this tree. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw the watcher, again this angel, this holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down and destroy it not, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him." So Daniel begins to explain the dream to the king. You're the tree. Tree's going to be cut down. There's going to be 7 years, but the stump is going to be left, indicating that Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom will be revived. It won't be taken away from him, but he'll be reinstated. So here, God in wrath remembers mercy. Now notice Daniel's interpretation, verse 24. "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree, the Most High," and I love those terms that are given for God in the book of Daniel. You're the Most High, "which has come upon the Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and dwellings shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, till seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High rules in the heavens," or the kingdoms of men, "and gives it to whoever he will." I call this section here Beauty and the Beast. We have this king in all his splendor, all of his majesty, becoming an actual beast. And then the description in a few verses is pretty graphic. It's amazing. Now here's the point. You need to learn something, king, verse 25, that the Most High, he rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he will. So God has a good purpose in the affairs of man. He says, "Whereas they commanded to leave the stump," verse 26, "of the tree and the roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, that after thou shalt have known, the heavens do rule." Now I want you to notice, fifthly, Daniel's exhortation. So Daniel tells him the dream, tells him its meaning, and now here's the application. He says, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." King, you're gonna go insane. Do you know that sin has kind of an effect upon us that we don't think properly? You ever known somebody that starts falling into sin and you go, "Man, they're just not thinking right"? It's temporary insanity is what it is. They're not even thinking. You're going, "I can't believe what they're doing. I can't believe what they're saying." They're just kind of going headlong into this insanity. And this king is going to go temporarily insane, and he's going to be groveling like a wild beast out in the field. So what was Daniel's recommendation or exhortation? Basically, verse 27 is repent. Repent. Break off your sins. I like that. Break off thy sins. Do righteousness and give up your iniquities and begin to show mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, I want you to notice, sixthly, his pride. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28. So everything that was predicted in the dream, as Daniel interpreted, happened. Why? Because he didn't break off his sin. He didn't repent of his sin. He didn't turn from his sin. He didn't follow after righteousness. So it says there that at the end of 12 months, God is patient and God is long-suffering. And God is waiting for you to repent. 12 months, 1 year, he gave the king opportunity. He didn't say, "Hey, if you don't repent right now, God's going to cut you off." God let him go, and God let him go, and God let him go, and God let him know, which doesn't mean God approved. A lot of times people misinterpret God not judging as though God is approved. But God is actually patient and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so after 12 months, the king, verse 29, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, verse 30, "Is not this great Babylon, that I have built by the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty. Oh my goodness. Now, some of you are chuckling because you know what's coming, right? Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When you start looking around at your little kingdom, is not this my beautiful house which I have made? Is not this my beautiful job that I've created? Am not I an amazing person? By the way, King's talking to himself. Proud people tend to do that. You know, you walk by a mirror and they stop on, you're looking good. They start talking to themselves in the mirror, you know, they're kind of just flipped out. It's insanity. But he's looking over all of this big, giant, beautiful kingdom of Babylon. In a few chapters, we'll describe more the ancient city of Babylon and its majesty and splendor and its walls. And he says, is not this great Babylon, which here's his foolish, foolish mistake, I have made. Oh, man, is he destined for a fall? Pride comes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Now, I want you to know, seventhly, verse 31 to 33, while the word was in his mouth, this is his punishment, by the way, his punishment. So we have his pride, now his punishment. While the words were still in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, until seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. So again, we have the Most High who rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until his hair was grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. How'd you like to have this in your backyard? Can you imagine the President of the United States, which some probably would like to imagine, you know? Some maybe you already picture him looking like this. Where's the president been? Well, he's out in the back lawn eating grass. I mean, his staff would want to shelter him from that. And no doubt for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar passed off the scene. Now, who is running the kingdom? We don't know. It doesn't say. There's a theory that Daniel stepped in. And that Daniel actually covered for him, and he took the interviews and the news kind of things, and he kind of filled the gap for him during this time, knowing that eventually he would be restored, because he knew the interpretation of the dream is that the stump would be left, and then his kingdom would be restored when the king finally repented and looked back to God and was restored.
Thanks for staying with us today as Pastor John shared that God was merciful to King Nebuchadnezzar and gave him time to change his mind and humble himself before God. But the king didn't do this, and his pride led to his downfall. You learned that God will use the circumstances of your life to help you see that you're not the one in control. Giving God credit for everything good in your life will help you stay humble and connected to him.
Today's teaching with Pastor John Miller was brought to you by Revival Christian Fellowship. Our desire at Revival Radio is to reach as many people with God's Word as possible, and your financial support continues to make this possible. We want to ask you to prayerfully seek the Lord about giving to Revival Radio, so the resources received will be used to expand this ministry's outreach onto more radio stations, like the one you're listening to today. And as the Lord leads you, please be faithful. We appreciate your prayer and financial support. You can give today by visiting our website at revival.tv/give. Again, to support Revival Radio and help us continue this good work, visit revival.tv/give.
Next time on Revival Radio, Pastor John will continue moving through the book of Daniel. As you look at the choices that Nebuchadnezzar's son Belteshazzar makes, you'll notice that his sins are similar to his father's. Pastor John will explain that despite all the amazing things that people have learned to do, we are helpless to change the deeply broken areas of the human heart. Only God can do that. Thanks for joining Pastor John today, and we hope you'll tune in again, right here on Revival Radio.